You got an outline of what our study will be tonight. I keep on receiving questions from people, and I told them, come to church, and I address the issue so that we all enjoy the facts of the scripture. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk about something that Dr. McCormack, when he was alive, and I have shared many thoughts about this, and he asked me one time to look in the Bible for all the indications of a mighty designer. He did not call God a creator, but he called a big designer. And I like that expression, the one who designed things. As you know, you study physics and organic chemistry, and unfortunately, the school doesn't know where things come from. And neither the professor doesn't know where things come from. And that makes sense, because apart from God, there is no knowledge, really deep knowledge, that we can have. So tonight, I want to address the issue that is very questionable in the very high circles, and is about a creator. The creator, I will call it, no A, but the creator. And so we're going to address the issue first, by saying that this, and just follow the outline, this is the title of God. And let's look in the Bible the book of Isaiah in chapter 40 and in verse 28. Chapter 40 and verse 28, to see what the Bible said about it. Here is what the scripture says. The creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So we have in the Bible the word assigned to a person, the creator. And clearly in Isaiah 28, he plays a good question. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God? And then the word God is Elohim, mean the 3-1 circle of God, the Lord. And you see in the King James Version, the Bible have the capital letters for the word Lord, which is Jehovah. So the text is saying the everlasting Elohim, the everlasting fullness of God, and then Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth. And so therefore, Isaiah 40, verse 28, reveals to us that God, nothing else than Elohim, and nothing else than Jehovah, and I deal with that issue. There is one God name, and here is another God's name, and I deal with the issue, which one represents one in a second. But we have a creator, we have a designer, we have somebody that without anything before, he makes things to happen. And that's important, and that's what Christianity stands for in history. Now we're going to do a little research ourselves. First, when the Bible says we have a creator, let's go to Genesis 1:1 and find that we have the creator of the universe. Now remember, God used the word Elohim there to address the particular issue, all right? So here we are in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 1. In the beginning, God, and God is Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. The original is very simple. He said bara, which is the third person singular of the verb to create. And so the translation in Hebrew is he created, and then bereshit, which means beginning. It means the word Genesis. He created in the beginning Elohim, God, and then of course Majahine Shalim, the heavens and the earth. And so the Bible is stated without mistakes and without any apology, clearly from the very beginning, as you open the Bible, that there is a God who created things, and he created what you see, your existence, the heavens and the earth. And when said the heaven is the whole universe, the whole compound of things that you look on it, and man took so long for this cover. Now, amazing enough, when you go to the New Testament, after so many years in the book of Acts, in chapter 17 of the book of Acts, in verse 24, the Apostle Paul, who was a lawyer in the things of the law of God, confirm or reaffirm the statement of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We read in Acts 17 and in verse 24 these words, God, and that's the word Theo. You don't have the same play in Greek that you have in the Greek on the three stanzas. God who made the world and everything in it. Is that clear? I think no professor will have a doubt when you look on it. He said, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heavens, Kurion means he controls the heaven, and earth does not dwell in temples made with hands. And so a Parthenon was part, when he was written, he was in Athens, and he was looking the Parthenon. I had the pleasure to draw the Parthenon as one of my theses in architecture. And I tell you, it's a very complicated, but the Parthenon was designed, there was no metrical system, remember? So how they measure? They measure from the center of the chest to the tip of your finger. That was one unit. And then was a man, perhaps a 6 foot, and that was the unit. And they divide that section in over 24 parts. And then we have to use the same scale they did. Perfection. Paul is standing in a place where a building shows the perfection of mankind. And what did he say in verse 24? God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. So that beautiful, remarkable architectural piece of ingenuity of mankind in Athens, there is nothing to compare with God, because he doesn't dwell there. That building cannot contain God. And so he used the word Theo for God. So God indeed is a remarkable information here, that God is showing to us that there is nothing to compare, nothing to even think about it, to relate to God. He is the creator, and there is no other one in this earth. That's it, period. All right? Now, and the many things, I can dwell for a week showing you all the things he created. I'd like to go back to Genesis and show you that he is the creator of mankind. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and then on verse 26, the Bible said, Then God Elohim said, this is very unusual statement. Rather than saying, I will make man, he said, let us. And complication of the imaginary person of God, he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And speaking to himself, he said, let us make man, and that is the word Adam, let us mankind in our image. It's not the word ish, male, let us make male, it's not that word. Let us make Adam, mankind, in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God has established, declaring his word, that he is the creator of mankind. And I keep saying, when he created mankind, he was not confused. He was not after a long day work and he was tired. He knew what he was doing. So much that chapter 2 of the book of Genesis in verse 7 gave us a detail in, of God's performance and created mankind on three sections, three parts. You and I are a compound of three parts. As you know, in the book of John, in chapter 4, 24, Jesus said, God is a spirit, it's one thing. But when we're talking about mankind, he's three things. And let me show it to you. Chapter 2, verse 7. Say, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So that's the compounds. We have 70 minerals within our body, the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, or a living soul, should be the translation. And so, therefore, the Bible teaches that man is a compound of three things. And number one, has a body, a unity, where you see it. And it's just earth. That's when the book of Ecclesiastes says clearly that man should be, when he died, placed. He came from the earth, he should go back to the earth, because your compound is the earth. And so verse 7 said that you have a body, and then you have the breath of life. Genetic engineering today and medicine trying to discover the breath of life. They never will find it. The breath of life is just something that God has implied. And then he said, man became a living soul, a living personality. That's why you are different than me. I'm different than my wife. In a family of 10 brothers and sisters, they're all different. They have different personalities. They have different attitudes, different ways to do things. The breath of life from God. I'd like to offer you a commentary from First Peter in the New Testament. In chapter 4 of 1 Peter, and in verse 19. The Bible said, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So if you suffer, you commit your personhood to God. When you are helping somebody sick in the family, or when you're doing this and doing the other, it is important that what the Bible said here is, according to the will of God, commit their souls to him, doing good as a faithful creator. Sometimes you're taking care. I saw how Dr. McCormick was taking care by all his sisters, daughters, and so on. And so it's a burden, no? It is a burden. But that burden, you do it here, they say, that's part of God's creation, part of God's design. I'm reading a book that Brother Johns gave me on how to understand the function of Alzheimer's people, and especially not so much the function of the sickness, but the function of the caregiver. And I read already four chapters, and you said the book is mine, so I scratch it all over, and I'm doing an outline so for my health. And a doctor and a technician with a master's degree, where I understand, collected all the information about people and on this disease, and he's a professor, and he explained that there is not so much problems on the person who had the disease, but on the people who take care of the disease. And they should be aware in how to produce it for their personal emotion. That fits right here in verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him. In other words, the verse thing that a caregiver should have is the peace of God in his heart and mind, and then the understanding of God. So God is the creator of mankind. He gave us a body out of the dust, and then he gave us a personality, a soul, and then he gave us life. The breath of life, they became, Adam became alive, and nobody will do this. Now, you maybe say, well, Pastor, in view of the simplicity of your explanation, why these brilliant professors do not understand it? Because look at in the book of Hebrew, you are in Peter, just go one book behind, James and Hebrew, and go with me to the faith chapter, chapter 11, of the book of Hebrews, and on verse 3. Look at what the counsel is from God. It said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In other words, you only understand this explanation of the Bible, this exposition of the Bible by faith. Not by memory, not by memorizing all these scriptures. You have to come to only one assertion, and that assertion is you have to believe it. Some people say to me, well, sounds so good, but I cannot believe it. I understand it. But there will be a moment where if you keep reading the Bible, God is going to frame things together. How do I know that? Well, it's not in my notes, but I want to show it to you. I want people to know Romans 10:17 is my key verse for those who like to search out the Bible. In Romans 10 and in verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Either you put a CD player and listen to the Bible, or you have your iPad or phone or whatever and click and listen to the Bible, or you read the Bible yourself. I enjoy it. At 4 o'clock in the morning, reading the scripture. Believe me, every day I learn something different, something that give me hope, and I'm making a little book. I already have over 12,000 notes on the book, and I'm going to give it to my daughter before I die, on things that the Bible said about this, about the other, and I keep it in an alphabetic order. But doesn't make any difference if you have it unless you believe it. See, and the good part on the Bible is this, that if you read it, the Bible produces faith. How? I don't know. But that's what the verse said here. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is just you read it, and you read it, and what happened is the best way to read the Bible is read a section of the Old Testament and a section of the New Testament. You read one Old Testament in the morning and New Testament in the evening, or vice versa, and once in a while the verses click so perfectly, and then you understand it and will give you a strength. So we have a creator. And that creator for us believers is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then they worked, they created the universe, and they created mankind. And I keep saying to all these doctors and people who said, well, I saw a man one time that he told me, I was teaching a class in Greek, advanced Greek, and the man became a woman. And he came to class, it was Elizabeth, no Marcus anymore. And so there were pastors in the class. It was in the radio. And after the class was 4 hours. And after the 2 hours, one of the pastors said, can we go to your office? I said, yes. He said, sir, he said, Elizabeth is Marcus. What? I said, you saw Elizabeth, the new student? Because she said, I want to study. I said, well, this is an advanced class. This is the fourth year of the class. I don't know what you know, but you just take one class and see if you understand it. And the student was answering exactly what I taught 2 or 3 years ago. And I said, what in the world? That he has my notes? That he knows so much of what each teacher have in his style, don't I? And he answered. And so, oh, wow. I said, so after the class was over, I said, let's keep the class. And I said, Elizabeth, I'd like to see you in my office. He said, yes, sir. So he came, all right? And I said, Elizabeth, somebody told me that you are Marcus. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I went through about 5 surgeries because inside me, when I was born wrong. I was a woman. I said, somebody told you that? He said, no, I was born a woman. So we went through the scripture. I said, does God make a mistake when he made somebody? And he said, well, I said, I want you to do something. I said, take all your clothing, and I want to bring a mirror, and you look yourself into the mirror and say, are you a man or a woman? All right, and he didn't. But I said, don't play like that with me. I said, will you kindly stay home rather than coming to the class, because it upset me that you don't understand God, and you are using God to prove that you are a woman when you were made a man. And so God made no mistakes. Now, could be somebody in sickness psychologically that has some problems, but when you were born a boy or you were born a girl. And you cannot blame God for what you want to do. And that's what mankind does. And so respectfully, I will say the scripture teaches that God has created us and he knew what he was doing and he created us in perfection. So there is a creator. Now I want to look that word God, because remember I say Elohim, I said Lord and so on. Well, God as Elohim is the owner of everything. Look in Genesis again in chapter 1. And in verse 1, there is no doubt about it in this. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens, Elohim. So he ordered that he said, let the earth be earth and let the heavens be. He's the owner. He's the big boss. And he said, he's the rich man that can do anything he wants to. And he said here, God as Elohim, he created the heavens and the earth. He manufactured. He said, let this be on this. Now, who designed the holy story? If you go to Isaiah again with me, in chapter 40 of Isaiah, we've been there before, chapter 40 and in verse 28. Look at what happened there. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, that's Elohim, the Lord. That is no Elohim, that is the word Yahweh there. And Yahweh is another name for God. And the first time the Bible mentioned Yahweh is in the book of Exodus. And Yahweh means I am. That's why the Hebrew language do not have a present tense in the verb. Because after God speaks, then it's past. And so it's very simple, very easy to understand. You speak, things are done or not done in its future. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, and in verse 14, that word is used there. Moses requested a little business car so that he can return back to the Jewish people and said, God send me. And the Bible said, and God said to Moses, rather than giving a business card, he said, Yahweh, Yahweh. All right? That you shall say to the children of Israel, Yahweh has sent me to you. Now, the Bible says, I am, because that's what the word means. I am, Yahweh. Now, it is amazing that in the entire history of mankind, from the book of Exodus until we come to the first century, to the book of John, and if you go over there in the book of John, in chapter 8 of the book of John, and in verse 58, we find the person who used that name for himself, and you will see the result of using that name. In chapter 8, in verse 58, Jesus said to the people that were the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, Jesus said to them, most surely I say to you, before Abraham was, in relation to the history of Israel, before Abraham was, then look at what he said, Yahweh. You see in capital letter, I am. In other words, I'm God. And the one who execute things. And no wonder in verse 59, properly, the Pharisees says, then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself. In other words, he was offending the Jewish people. He's saying, I'm God, I am. No, as I am, in my mind, he is the architect of creation according to Colossians. So let's go to the book of Colossians in our Bible, and let's go to chapter 1 of Colossians in verse 15 and verse 16. The Bible tells us something about this Yahweh. Look at what the Bible said in Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. So God is invisible, but Christ is a reflection of him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And look at what the Bible said about him. For by him all things were created. They are in heaven and they are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principality, that's the spiritual powers. All things were created through him and for him. In other words, he executed. When God said, let be the heavens and the earth, then immediately the Son took over and designed it and put it together in a marvelous way. Then I understand the function of this. It never was a bad function between the Father and the Son. The Father says something, the Son completed. So the Father determined and the Son executed, designed it, and put it together. But we need one more. We need the constructor. We need the guy who built it. We need the guy who actually, from God, did the things. And the Bible revealed that in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 2. It revealed who is really the actual man who is going to work and put all the things together. The Bible said in Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. And so the Bible tells us in a marvelous way here that the Holy Spirit is the one who manufactures things. No wonder you need to have the Holy Spirit speaking to you in order to be saved. We preach the word and we sound the word, and for you to believe is not an act of your will, it's an act of God's will in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who speaks to your heart. He is the one who executes. You remember the scripture from Zechariah 4:6, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. In other words, the execution of God's plan is done by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to give you this. I believe it with all my heart, and I try in my life to let that be. And I give you an example. I have told you over and over. We are in a pondering if we need to have a selling this property and making the other property, the building. I did the design and a pre-design. Brother Jovi is going to frame it, and if we're going to discuss it and working together, but that is far away from having the building. And it's just being prepared, because it's not that we want to live here. The city as it is now want to move us out of here. Now I read in the paper and I called them, and until the year 2035 they will not do anything in this section of the area. I wonder if they can hold us without moving. But that's another thing. What happened is this. In my mind, I said, Lord, did we really need the other property? It will be much better, it will be more pleasant, it will be more, the facility will be more proper for us. Then I want to let you tell me when that be. And even though I get counsel from many people saying, well, if we borrow this money and we do this, I don't want we. I want this Holy Spirit to lead us, that somebody will come with $2 million in my hand. I say, here it is, Pastor, I like your property. So you're dreaming. No, I'm not dreaming. The Holy Spirit has to build it. I will not jeopardize the peace of mind and heart that we have here for just getting a property. And that will take time. And you never know if you will do it. That's fine. The person who follow me will do it. To me, it's very important. The Holy Spirit, he is the manufacturer of God's will. So you wait until the Holy Spirit set everything up in your life. I have so many young people telling me, I'm a little old. I better have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I remember a girl who said, Pastor, I have this boy, his blue eyes and tall and nice. I don't know if he's a believer or not, but boy, I like it, and I'm 24. I want to get married. Is that what the Holy Spirit wants? No, I want to get married. Then 2 years later, Raquel and I had to drive to Los Angeles and get her with a little baby in her hands. The guy has abandoned her. Then I had to go to their parents and ask them to receive her. And there was a tension. There was a Spanish people. That would be a terrible thing for the family, but not for God, I said. You receive your children and grandchild. And I told you this story that 20 years later, as I'm about 24 years later, as I'm walking in Fremont, California, a car stopped and a guy opened the door and came to me and hacked me. I thought he's going to steal my money or something. He said, "You are the man who saved me. I'm a dentist today because of you." That was the boy that Raquel and I rescued way in Los Angeles. You know, you let the Holy Spirit work. You let the Holy Spirit work. So God is in the creation. God, yes, the word is God, but it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And each one has a function and one thing in creating things. God the Father, to me, is the designer. Let's make the earth. Never was made. Never was even in thought. Jesus designed it, and the Holy Spirit, according to verse 2, got to work. Now, there is one thing I want you to remember. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. in the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, and in verse 1, here's the counsel of God. Remember your what? Remember Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So we have a Creator, don't we? Remember your Creator. We did not came out of nothing. God made us out of nothing. But then successfully was the plan. Many times I spent, Dr. McCormack will live with me forever. Many times as we drink a cup of coffee and have cake downstairs in the hospital together, he knew where the cake was over there, and he loved that sweet things. And he will tell me, as I'm a medical doctor and a surgeon, he said, it's so crushing to me to have to humble myself and believe that God has done this. And many times we went into the library of the hospital and saw how a baby, he wanted me to see if I had doubts. I think he wanted to see my face. If I had doubt, that he showed me and how the baby had 3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks. And what do you think? I said, well, God, I always said, have made a good thing. And he looked at me, don't say a word. It was hard for him to humble himself and understand it. But one day he told us, the man, we have a Bible reading for men. And I never forgot that day. With Maya was there and the others. And he stood up and he said, I believe. Oh, my heart, relax. And I knew that he believed. That he takes time to believe. And so Ecclesiastes 12:1 said, now that you are you, remember your Creator. That's the way to name God. And you, God wants you to remember that he is the Creator. He is the one. Now, why people do not believe in God today? The answer is in Romans 1 and in verse 25. Here's what the Bible says. Romans 1 and verse 25. He said, the Bible said, the people, and this is today, like tomorrow newspaper, he said, exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, what happened today in Zion is, rather than looking for a Creator, we look for the thing that has been created, and we worship the thing that has been created rather than the one who created the things that we have at hand. And that's what happened. And so the school system has changed. Now, when I went in the school, in grammar school in my country, we had to read the Bible, and we respected that God was the Creator. Now today will be ignorance to say that God is the Creator, and so on. But that the Bible said here, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, said the Bible. I said, so those books who said that God did not create anything is a lie, said the Bible. It's very strong, very for the Bible. And say, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. And so when a professor is telling me about this and the other, he's a creature. He has been created. What does God say is more important than anybody else said. So there is a Creator. I cannot make you to believe it. you come to believe it as you read the scripture and read the scripture and read the scripture and compare the evidence of the scripture who are real and natural. And if you don't believe it, I understand it. And I will pray that you will come to that moment. But it takes a lot of research, takes a lot of reading, takes a lot of convincing proof from the Bible that in reality, God has designed everything, and the three-head unit of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and a marvelous work has functioned in a perfection. And so I'm so glad that I believe it, and I hope that you believe it too. Thank you, Father, for a good understanding of the Creator. You are the Creator. We love you. And we thank you, Father, that in the mystery of God, you have provided information in your book, the Bible, to reveal yourself as the Creator of mankind and Creator of this world and the world to come. And so, Father, humbly we pray that you make that a truth in our heart. And for those who perhaps do not understand it, that through the reading of the scripture, they will come to the truth. It takes time sometimes. But Father, I'm happy that I have a God who have made me and understand me emotionally, physically, and mentally. And so, Father, thank you. And give us this week a wonderful week. Things will happen that we do not know. Prepare our hearts and mind to deal with it and bring us together the coming Sunday. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. All right.